And again, to each and every one of you, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, if you will, please. Portion this morning, and the reason I go back to it is because it goes along with the message. At least I think it does, anyways. As well as the selection of songs that we had. I haven't been talking to Jason again, but he had an excellent selection of songs, and we'll review them in just a second. But in Ephesians, we read the whole chapter. The whole chapter was read, but let's go back to verse 13. Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." So it's kind of a well-known verse. We almost don't even have to look it up. We sort of know it and have that thought going in us. And as I was thinking about it today, I noticed that the word trusted is what? Italicized, which means what? Not really there. And so I said, well, start asking myself, that leaves a pretty good gap. "In whom ye also, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation," kind of leaves out the whole thought of the verse there. So does it really mean that the word trusted is the right one to be put there? What do you think? Definitely. Why? Well, if you look at that previous verse of verse 12, that we, talking about Paul and others, should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So by their very example of what they did, they trusted in Christ. We also can put that word in there, in whom ye also trusted. So like they did, we also can do the same thing. We can also trust in him. And so that word can be put there, even though it isn't there. And those are excellent verses talking about our salvation and the seal of our salvation. In review of our songs this morning, or this evening, we had what? Trust and obey, that was one of them. Complete in him. Jesus paid it all, good. What was the last one? Christ returns, and there's one more. And the first one. Sometimes we open up our meetings with this another meeting. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. So review, Jesus saves, Jesus paid it all, complete in thee, trust and obey, Christ returneth. An excellent message of salvation in the songs that we had there, as well as in Ephesians, talking about salvation. In light of that, I'd like to take and refer to Sunday school paper for my thoughts. And I have these here, a couple footballs, and maybe some of the guys want to throw them around later on. But it's to remind us of the football season. We just had the Super Bowl last week, and there's, I think, one more game tonight even, but the Super Bowl was kind of the big one to climax everything there. So in regards to football, anybody know of a guy named Pat Summerall? Yeah. I think he was a kicker, right? That was one of his... I think that's one of the things that he did years ago besides do other things. Well, in January here in our power papers, of the 16th, is an article about him. When I seen him, I was kind of surprised. I, for some reason, just wouldn't think that maybe he'd be kind of featured, you know. And, of course, he's been teamed up with John Madden, who's on some of the, a lot of these games that they play for the video games and everything. And, but anyways, I found this kind of very interesting article for myself, especially for the young peoples who are here tonight. I hope that the young peoples especially will listen to what his testimony is, and as it was shared, and as it was written by James Adair, "Does life have a purpose?" And so in the beginning it says, "A former sportscaster discovers life meaning outside of football." And so here's the football, but outside of that, there's something else. He was born on May the 10th, 1930, to give you how old he is, and about 30 years later, he answered the phone one day, and he little realized that the call would trigger the beginning of a glamorous, exciting career. Actually, the caller wanted somebody else to talk to somebody else that was his roommate, but they told him to come along, and after they did some reading, he was taken, accepted right away as somebody that they wanted as an announcer. Now, you may disagree with how he announced things, but he does have a good voice, and so whether he's good, bad, or what, as far as an announcer to you, he had a voice that you could listen to very easily. And so he thought he got lucky because he went to New York and continued on. But it takes and talks a little bit about his background. He was raised by his grandmother and an aunt and uncle after his parents divorced. So divorce situations cause many hardships, and in this case, again, grandmothers, aunts and uncles, and others help out with people. And so boys and girls, even as you might find out later on in life, some of these situations might come. Sometimes there's others that can love you and help you as well, too. Such was the case was there. He played for, in school, the University of Arkansas. And he said, we had a very talented team at Arkansas, but we didn't mesh. So I thought that was kind of interesting for team players. And that happens a lot of times. We found that out with different sports teams that people have a lot of talent, but for some reason just can't get it all together, working all together. And so that's what he thought there. But then he moved on. But now is the part that you need to take and pay attention to, because it was in college that Pat began drinking, a habit that in years to come would threaten his career. And he's not the only person that goes through this. But you might say, well, I don't have that problem, but maybe there's another problem that you could put in there. That's not the only problem, but his happened to be with drink. And I was a little surprised because I didn't know any of his background, really. It says, after the football season was over, I would go to the basketball, and then when that season was over, a lot of us guys would go out and drink beer with nothing else to do. So what's the problem? Too much time on your hands, you know? And that happens with a lot of these people I find at work. They have, and seemingly, like we might find ourselves totally busy all the time, whereas they might have too much time on their hands, and they get involved in doing this and other things. As I said, this is not the only thing, but this was his problem as it started. He played with the Giants, and on a day off, they'd go out and have a pretty good party after that when he got involved with the Giants. Then after he got out of football and he went into broadcasting, he says here he would go out with a salesman to sell a client, and inevitably we would have our drinks. So that's one problem where he would have. He had easy access through that means. And I know that if going out to work, a lot of times when we took and met with some of the engineering firms and stuff like that, and they took us out to lunch to treat us, it would always give you plenty. They almost thought you were crazy. Why didn't you take it? It's all free. I said, forget it. You know, I'm not interested. But that's a big thing for entertaining and closing deals, is to offer free drinks. And so it was offered to him. Also, from time to time, somebody would call him up and say, what are you doing after work? And we would meet and have a few drinks. So again, he had time on his hands where he had it again. And then he continues, third, when I began full-time in the TV booth at golf tournaments, free drinks were always available. Tennis was also pretty much the same. And so here, for somebody that has the problem, Satan really takes and tends to help you out. Boys and girls, young people, do you hear the fact that Satan is right there to help you out with your weakness, your difficulty? Adults, the same thing. This might not be your problem and might never be your problem. But the problem is that Satan would like to take and help you out in all that he can. And so he even makes it available. To the point where he said, finally, drinking got hold of me. I didn't realize what was happening. I turned a deaf ear to all who told me I should slow down. And so he didn't listen to anybody's help. He didn't think that he had a problem. He didn't realize what was doing to him, got a hold of him. And as I said, this might not be your problem, but you might have something else that you don't realize that little by little it's getting a hold of you and really doing something, and you don't listen to anybody else for advice. Things that are kind of dangerous. In his case, He had 14 people that were really interested in him. This was in 1992. A group of friends invited him, and he puts it, tricked me, to meet with them with the intention of helping him with his drink problem. And he sort of had to go because they were like the commissioner of two professional leagues, people from the industry that I knew, some of my golf buddies, 14 in all. So I kind of felt that he couldn't reject going, but listen to his attitude about it. With a group like this wanting to help you, you've got to be one tough, hopeless guy. But what was his attitude? He said he went reluctantly, and anger raged in his heart at his friends who had met with him and arranged for his treatment. And so again, even though he needed the help, and many times people need help in different areas, they refuse it, even when somebody tries to help in their worst ways, with good intentions, because of the battle that's going on within. Tom mentioned this morning about the battle, the spiritual battle, and here's a case of an example of that battle that's going on out there that we're unaware of. He said, I didn't like to go because it was an intervention into my life. In other words, I'm losing control. Somebody's taking control. Where was he sent? To the Betty Ford Clinic in California for his particular help. Because of that, it says he took it took a while to get with the program. As a result of it, it took him 33 days instead of the usual 28 to get a grasp of the help he so desperately needed. Because he was refusing the help, it made it even harder for him to take and accept the help. Again, something to take and consider as people try to help you. He says he was introduced to the 12 steps from Alcoholics Anonymous. I had a great counselor, and he helped me realize I needed a higher power to help me. So that's kind of interesting that here you have this suggestion from the Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've heard of them being helpful to other people as well, too. And sometimes as they look at Christians, they take the same ideas that we might suggest, and surprisingly, they work. Why do they work? Because God's behind it, you know. And so the suggestion is there that he needed to have help from a higher power. That was number one. He needed to realize I couldn't quit drinking by myself. He needed to take and understand that he was missing something in life. And so it was through that he started to understand that part of it. Uncle Dave talked about it in meetings, about realizing that you were lost. Again, he had to take and realize that he had a problem. He had the problem. He knew there was the problem there, but he didn't want to take and realize it, and he didn't want to listen to anybody telling him about it. So the first step of the program was to admit he was powerless by himself to overcome his addiction to alcohol. His second step urged him to reach out to someone greater than himself. The third, to make a decision to turn his will and life over to the care of God as he understood him. I think they're referring to him. Pat understood it, or maybe even the counselor. I'm not even sure if the counselor would have known God in a personal way, but just go this way, it'll help you. And so those are three steps that he had to take and consider, and I'll review them again for the young people as well as the adults. First step, that you're powerless, that you're lost. You can't really help yourself. The second, to reach out to someone greater than yourself. And the third, to make a decision to do that, to take and turn your will and life over to the care of God. So you have to realize you got a problem. This is the message of salvation. This is why the messages that were given in song were excellent. You have to realize you're lost. You have to realize that we can't save ourselves. You have to realize that I have to make a decision to turn from my way that I was in. Unfortunately, behind all this, he thought he was a Christian, a believer, like so many, he said, who really aren't. So that kind of confuses the issue, because sometimes you think to yourself, especially, you know, that some of the other religions talk about, oh, you're a Christian, you're a good person, and so they have false hope. Tom, again, talked about that hope that's not false, but true this morning. He said he had a little idea how to truly reach out for God. And so here he's told that he should do that. But that was kind of a great admission, I thought, on his part. He said he had little idea how to truly reach out for God. Knew he should, but how do I do it? He doesn't go through some of the other steps, but he does say the 11th step that they have there is to focus on prayer and meditation to improve his conscious contact with God. So that was some of the things that he was going through, thinking about during his rehab time while he was there. And again, for the young people to realize, okay, well, maybe I can handle everything. I don't need to take and worry about stuff. As you get to college, it's a dangerous area. And many believers are concerned for their children as they go to college and are prayerful because of what atmosphere is there. Not only do you maybe have that, but the sexual part of it. There's other things, many other things that go on in colleges. They do have some good things as far as education, but there's many things that may be very harmful for a person's life as they're going through that time. And you really need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. He goes on to say later on in his life that he was divorced, but then he later remarried. And he began a daily practice of reading devotional books and the scriptures and praying. They began going to church, but he admits he was slow to grasp all that they were reading and hearing. So I'm glad that he admitted that. Again, many people come out to our assembly, our church, perhaps they're hearing things, they're reading things, they're going to church, but yet they're having a hard time grasping what it really all means and putting it all together. He said he was confused and struggling to truly find God and exercise his faith in a way that would enable him, and though drink was behind him, to leave the old life behind and to walk in newness of life. Again, Tom was talking about this battle that we have, and so here he is, struggling and confused, but yet searching. And so that's the good part. He was searching. At the church that he was at, the minister there took and visited them in their home. And this was in 1999, so that's a long ways down the road from 1930, that he was beginning to realize that Christ was that someone greater than himself, the one who could be the guiding factor in his life. Jesus became central in Pat's life, and now Pat realized that he had a friend who would enable him to honor the Lord and be an overcomer. Interesting, he goes on to say, I had heard about being reborn, but I hadn't understood it. And again, many things that he didn't understand, and he's admitting to it. Had a hard time trying to find, how do you reach out to God? How do you find them? Many things that he was confusing. Many things about the salvation of being reborn, but he didn't understand it. And yet he finally came to the point where one day it all made sense. And so as he continued on with the search, as you continue on searching the scriptures, Tom emphasized, in our battle, one of the important things was to be involved in the Word, to take and study the Word. That's a must. Now I know, but now I certainly knew I was born in Christ. He asked to be baptized, and 2 weeks later did that. So now he testifies that he became happier and closer to his family and friends, began telling him he looked better. He found new friends and new playgrounds to replace those of former days, and sometimes that's a problem. If you have some old things that are in there, you need to have them replaced with things that would be helpful to you. Again, some of the decisions that we make, we might find that hopefully to save you from this whole time of life of struggling through all the things that he did. And as I said, he's not the only one. You could probably give countless other stories of people that have gone through the same pathway, the same thinking, the same process. And we'd like to have you avoid that if all possible. Since I came to know Christ, he's given me strength that I didn't have before, he comments. He enjoys attending a Bible study. He says, Amazing Grace is his favorite song. And he's memorized all the stanzas. He has studied the life of its author, John Newton, and marvels at the way God changed such a vile man and slave trader into a giant of a faith. So again, that song of Amazing Grace is preached out far and wide, and yet there's many people that know it, even at work, and sing it and like that song and don't understand it. That's still what's amazing to me. They don't take it and say, I'm that wicked person. They love this. I know there's one guy at work. He loves the song. He loves hearing it and loves it sung in different ways. He loves to play it. He doesn't realize it's talking about him. And I says, you know, what a disaster, you know. He goes on and shares his story throughout the country. He's proud to say and spread the word that he's a Christian. He was interviewed by Decision Magazine, and there he took and talked about how certain people in football had been an example to him before he came to Christ. Again, I thought that was an important area. In the area of football, as he was involved there, there was others that he saw, and again, perhaps confused them, but he saw by watching them. There was one guy that was this guy named by Chad Gailey, who was a coach for the Dallas Cowboys. He said he had a tremendous impact on me as I watched him live the Christian life, give up his time and his heart, and still be a good football coach. And so he was just watching him. I don't know how many conversations he had, but he said it had a tremendous impact. That's what he admitted. He said there was another guy by Kurt Warner. I've heard of him before with the quarterback. He used to be with the Rams, but he's been floating around. But he was also another person that was very influential. So sometimes the people, again, that we hang with can be very helpful as far as helping us in coming to terms with the things of God's Word. At this point, he continues their devotional time at home, reading the Bible and devotional books, and having that time. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. He ends this article with this, or this article is ended with this verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so what you were formerly, you're no longer if you're truly believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said when he met the Savior, old things are. Let's see. I'm sorry. For Pat, the well-known verse became real in his life when he met the Savior, and so he went through a tremendous process. And again, many people here that have been saved, it's been not just all of a sudden hear the word and turn around. It's been through a process of maybe through Sunday school time after time, meeting after meeting. One person or another person, it's been a process. It's not usually been something that's happened immediately. With most of us, it's taken a while to take and have us realize our own sinfulness and accept and reach out to God for our salvation. But there has to be a time for us to take and realize that we're powerless, that we need God, and that we need to take and follow in His steps through His Word. The battle out there, as we heard this morning, is tremendously strong. I picked this up in one of the doctor's office. Sometimes they have little quick quotes. In order to be old and wise, you must be young and stupid. And certainly Pat Summerall testified to that part, that he was sort of young and stupid and got him almost killed. Perhaps because if he had continued on, we know that sometimes that does take and kill people. But he became old and wise by believing in the things of Scripture. And so after our salvation, as Tom was mentioning this morning, we have the armor of God. What comes next? Well, again, the idea of godliness plays into that aspect of it. Jim gave an excellent message the other Sunday morning, even as Jim had referred to him, about godliness and that you need to take a look at that. After our salvation comes the next part, to living a life that would be pleasing to Him. We went to a conference up in Canada there called the Timothy Conference. It was on for several days, but we just went for the one day, Jorge and Tim and myself. I was glad I was able to go, and really enjoyed the messages that were given. We went to several messages that they had as main messages, and then they had seminars as well. And in one of the seminars they had was by Dr. Bushka, I guess. Tim likes to almost think, well, maybe he wants to name his son after that. He really liked that guy's last name. But anyways, he had a seminar on godliness. But then afterwards he said, you know, after we got out, he said, well, it wasn't really what I wanted, you know. Well, I didn't realize what he was looking for until after he gave the message that he's searching us for what it means. And his aspect of what he was given, which was very good, he was sort of like giving the technical aspects of that verse of, or that meaning of godliness as it would happen in the intellectual world of how they would take and pull things apart, pick things apart. And you have to need to know that, like, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ was born in this earth in the flesh. That's the start of it. And so he gave an excellent presentation of that part. But Tim was talking about, okay, what about the practical aspect of that? And that's what he was trying to cover, and he did an excellent job on that. But that's the next thing for us to take and to consider, is after we're saved, the godliness aspect in our life. And so I'm not going to take and cover that. I just wanted to make mention of that, that he did give an excellent presentation on that. And I don't know if he finished it completely, but we'll take and I'll talk to him further about that. Maybe he's got some more on that. But again, things in God's Word are very helpful for our daily life, even though we might not think so. So with that, we're going to close early so that he can do the other meeting. And let's just commit our time to him this evening.